Chapter 7. The Mental Senses. Physicalism has steered psychology away from the study of the mind by insisting that the only legitimate evidence is the evidence of the physical senses. Thus limited to physical evidence alone, psychology has ceased to be the study of the mind and has become a mess. I have spent years trying to untangle that mess and need to take a few chapters here to explain the mess and how it can be straightened out. How do I know that I have a mind? How does anybody know that they have a mind? The only way we know that we have such a thing as a mind is by being aware that we have certain mental processes, our thoughts, our emotions, our memories, and our dreams. Whatever is performing these processes is what we call the mind. To be able to be aware of these thoughts, feelings, memories, and dreams, we must have some mechanism of perception. Just as we have physical senses to perceive the physical world, I define mental senses as those mechanisms by which we perceive our mental processes. I don't think that the culture is fully aware that we have senses to observe the mind, because we have the expression, the five senses, to mean the five physical senses, and then the expression, sixth sense, to mean something psychic, something abnormal. There is no room in between in the language for those mental senses that every normal person has. Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am. Cogito ergo sum." Because he distrusted the evidence of the senses. But how did he know he was thinking, unless he first sensed it? The early psychologists studied the mind with what they called introspection, which has a very convoluted definition, which includes thought and imagination, as well as perception. They used the mental senses, but they weren't totally clear in thinking about what these mechanisms were, and they didn't clearly separate the function of perception out of the convoluted definition of introspection. If they had been more fully aware of the mental senses, they would have had a better argument with which to resist the domination of physicalism. The discovery of the mental senses is my own independent discovery, one of many in my efforts to turn my back on the culture and design a new civilization from scratch. I recognize that in determining the truth of a proposition such as, if A is greater than B and B is greater than C, then A is greater than C. I don't compare the size of the letters on the page, but construct some kind of images in my mind and then compare those images. The ability to look at those mental images is what I call a mental sense. Similarly, when somebody explains something to me and I say, "I see," I'm seeing something mental and not physical. This ability to see something mental is something separate from the ability to construct a mental image, or the attention required to do this, or the volition required to want to do this. I believe that Western philosophers have created unnecessary confusion by bundling all these things. For example, I have read that observation requires attention, and that attention distracts from the perception. These mental perceptions are an involuntary thing, just as my physical senses are perceiving the external world, whether or not I'm paying attention to it, and whether or not I want to be perceiving the external world at this moment. Locke and Kant had views of mental senses similar to my own. This is a quote from Schwitzengebel, writing in 2016. Etymologically, the term introspection, from the Latin looking into, suggests a perceptual or quasi-perceptual process. Locke writes that we have a faculty of perception of the operation of our own mind, which though it not be a sense, as having nothing to do with external objects, yet it is very like it, and might properly enough be called internal sense. Now, Locke writing in 1690 and Kant writing in 1781 says we have an inner sense by which we learn about mental aspects of ourselves that is, in important ways, parallel to the outer sense by which we learn about outer objects. But then, these perceptions that Locke and Kant identified somehow exploded into introspection, which is defined by Merriam-Webster as synonymous with self-contemplation, self-examination, self-observation, self-questioning, self-reflection, self-scrutiny, self-searching, soul-searching. From there, it is my opinion that Western philosophers have created mostly confusion on the subject. Science requires, first of all, observation of the object being studied. To study the mind scientifically, one must first observe the mind, and that is done with the mental senses. I don't see any other way of observing the mind. So, until we find a better way, any scientific study of the mind must start with the mental senses. I have heard that Western philosophers have questioned the accuracy of the mental senses. First of all, if they haven't accurately pinpointed the mental senses, then how do they even know what it is that isn't accurate? Accurate or not accurate, the mental senses are what we have with which to observe our minds. Western philosophers have also pointed out inaccuracies in the physical senses. We see mirages. Some people are colorblind. Some people are tone deaf. We don't see the ultimate reality of things, but only their surface appearances. In spite of these inaccuracies, physical science manages to operate with the physical senses. In the same way, mental science can produce accurate results with the mental senses by recognizing inaccuracies and avoiding them. Present-day psychologists are wrong if they think that observing brain activity with their expensive equipment is the same as studying the mind. Because their expensive equipment does not see thoughts, feelings, memories, or dreams, the person under observation has to do the observing with his or her mental senses of what she or he is thinking, feeling, remembering, or dreaming, and then communicate that to the scientists in order for them to know what is happening mentally while they are observing the brain activity. Maybe in some science fiction future, somebody will invent a device that will record brain activity and play it back as mental processes. But for now, we are very much dependent upon the mental senses to observe mental processes as people know them. And even when we can play back such a recording, the subject will have to observe the playback with his or her mental senses and say, yes, that is what I was thinking, feeling, remembering, dreaming, in order to validate it. But the physicalists have been trying to convince us that only observations with the physical senses are legitimate for scientific study. They have done this through assertions, bad logic, and manipulative tactics, leaving many gaps in the paper trail. First of all, there is the obvious limitation of the mental senses. The scientist can observe at most his or her own mental processes, unless he or she is telepathic. So to observe many people's mental processes, the early psychologists had to train their subjects to be observers of their own mental processes. The first problem with this was that the psychologists train themselves in different methods of observation so that results couldn't be replicated by other psychologists. Second, the subjects made errors in their observations. And third, some subjects lied about what they were observing.